Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
All right. Hour number three coming up tonight here on a Friday night. Thank you very much, Al, as we move into the 10 o'clock hour. We've talked tonight about MBTA communities, which are now requiring that communities which are proximate to the MBTA provide more housing units. We talked last hour about doctors leaving Massachusetts. And I want to talk about a subject that I think a lot of people are concerned about. I happen to see, and I tried to get the author of this book on tonight. The book is Keep the Memories, Lose the Stuff. We may have that author on at some point, which would be a fun exercise, I'm sure, for all of us. But as all of us move, you know, you grow up, you get out of the house, you get an apartment, and maybe you move to a bigger apartment, or maybe you're going to move to a house or a condo, and then you move to a house, and maybe you have kids, maybe you don't. Maybe you move to a bigger house, then eventually you're downsizing. How do you get rid of things? I am not a hoarder, although my wife thinks I'm a hoarder. I'm not a hoarder. I'm not talking about the people who... they die in a house fire and the police department says we couldn't even find the body. They were in the back room and they were buried behind boxes and crates and old newspapers. But just wondering if any of you have recently gone through the process of simplifying your life, downsizing, getting rid of stuff. And how do you go through it? How difficult? How do you figure out what you want to keep and what you can let go of? We have all in our lives accumulated so much stuff, more than probably all of us need, or at least many of us need. How do you, books, I have a tough time throwing away a book. I will take a book to a library and leave it there at a library or whatever. But up in, Vermont this week, they were talking about the books for the University of Vermont's college system. They're getting rid of books. They just don't have space for them anymore. And of course, they don't have need for them anymore, because now you can get books on Kindles and all of that. And it seems to me, also, so many friends of mine have told me that they were going to, move from a home, I don't know, to a condo or whatever, maybe move to Florida or whatever, to a, warmer climate. And they've said to me, we wanted to our children to take furniture, furniture that had been in the family for years, maybe furniture that they had inherited. I mean, well-built furniture. But their kids didn't want it. Cutlery or, dish sets, which are beautiful. There are just a lot of things that you build up, you accumulate. Kids' scrapbooks from when they're young. You try to give a scrapbook that you kept for a child to your son or daughter. They're building a scrapbook for their children, and they're not as interested in the scrapbook that you built for them. So I'm just wondering how many of you have dealt with some of these situations and how have you dealt with it? It would rip my heart out to throw away things of great sentimental value, but you can't take things with you. And sometimes you can't even take them to your next location, wherever that might be. And I think it's a problem that my generation, the baby boomers, are going to have to deal with. in my opinion. So I'm asking you to join the conversation. Give us a call, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Also, 617-931-1030. Have you dealt with this? And I don't know. I guess some people would say have a yard sale. But, you know, are there things that you don't want to? Well, first of all, things that you wouldn't put out at a yard sale. I mean, who wants a scrapbook of your kids if you kept a scrapbook of your kids? Who wants your old Christmas cards or your old birthday cards or whatever you might save? So I'm opening up this conversation. This is North America's Back Porch. It's a Friday night of St. Patrick's Day. There's no need of us dealing with issues of war and peace at this hour. We will come during the 11 o'clock hour. I want to talk about how many of you actually enjoy corned beef and cabbage or whether you eat it out of an obligation to your Irish heritage. I just don't like it. But I'll deal with that in the 20th hour at 11 o'clock. Right now, I'd like to talk to you about stuff. What type of stuff? What do you keep? What do you get rid of? Again, I do not consider myself a hoarder. Maybe some people would consider it, but I've kept, you know, records and, but not records, not phonograph records, but records from school, from high school and college and law school. Love to know what you found important. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030, and 617-931-1030. We'll light up these phone lines. Let's have a conversation here on North America's Back Porch. My name is Dan Ray. You're listening to WBZ 1030 in the AM dial. If you're driving in a car somewhere and you're saying, what radio station is that? Yeah, we're Boston. We are Boston. We're New England, and we're the eastern half of the U.S. You can get us just about anywhere. That's with over-the-air terrestrial radio. My name's Dan Ray. Love to have you join me. Come on back right after this break.
You're on Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
Okay, let's see what people have to say here on dealing with, again, you know, clutter and actually having to throw things out. David in Brockton. Hey, David. Welcome. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing great. What do you think about the whole idea here of, you know, keep the memories but lose the stuff?
Man, it is difficult. I am dealing with that problem myself. I have things from my parents' estate. Now, they've been gone 25 years.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of these things that my mother and my grandmother made, handmade, needlework, crocheting and tatting and things like that.
Yeah.
And every time I'm ready to package them up and take them over to the Salvation Army or Goodwill or just give them away, I freeze. I just cannot seem to part with that because I remember watching them work with their hands, suffering from arthritis, but yet they kept going.
Yeah, yeah. So, do you have them all like in a box somewhere, or what have you done to at least collect them?
Dan, I've got them out in the garage. I've got them in the cellar in totes. I've got them in a storage cubby in totes. Holy smoke, where do I start?
Yeah. So let me ask you this: could you keep some of them for the sentimental value, while at the same time, perhaps, I'm saying perhaps, giving away some of them that are of practical value? You know, I don't know. Are there blankets? You know, what are the items that they made? Did they make things like pot holders and things that you can use?
Yes, pot holders. This is the life that they came from.
Yes,
there
sure.
were no such things as marble and granite countertops and synthetic countertops and things like that. Everything was all wood.
Yeah.
And they made runners to lay on top of the cabinets. You know, so like if you put on a put up a clock, a wind up clock, an 8-day clock.
Yeah.
or a vase full of flowers that might have water in it. You don't want the wood to scratch, so you have these things, and honest to God, Dan, we had them all over the house.
Sure, sure. Well, I'm the worst guy in the world. This is the blind leading the blind, David. Trust me on that.
Well, I think I'm in good company then.
Yeah, you are. I understand the sentimental connection. Okay, you don't want to give anything away because it's almost like you're separating yourself from your mom or your aunt. But if you were to collect them all in one place and get a box for, let's say, pot holders and, you know, items that could be used in the kitchen. And then, you know, separate them however you wanted to separate them. But the ones that, you know, would have some use to families that need something like that, you know, obviously don't, you know, you don't want to end up giving away all the pot holders and then next month having to go to Target and buy a pot holder made in Thailand, okay? But would there be enough there to keep for your use for a long time, and yet let some of them go maybe to a church group or something along that line where you would feel a connection?
Dan, I've got enough stuff to outfit about 10 families.
Okay, so then why not keep enough for your family and take... I'm serious when I say that. I'm not getting any feedback. I think I was hoping I was going to have you say, gee, that's not a bad idea. I mean, would your mom and your aunt, if they were able to communicate with you right now, would they say to you, hey, look, you know, we understand your feeling, but why don't you let some of the stuff go to help other people? And that way our work will be of benefiting to other families who may need some of these items. And at the same time, you're able to keep a portion of them for sentimental reasons.
Oh, yes, yes. That's I've been struggling to arrive at a conclusion very similar to what you have just suggested.
I mean, I wouldn't give them all away. I wouldn't put them all in.
No.
I'm just saying, but if you said to yourself, yeah, I mean, these are items that are now 25 years old, I'm sure the quality of them is fabulous. And are you affiliated with a church group by any chance or no?
No, sir. No, I'm not.
Okay, that's fine.
But that is an excellent suggestion. There are many, many families here in Brockton that would, and I mean, you know, there's older generations, you know, people my age that would greatly appreciate something like that because they may have come from a background similar to mine where their mothers and their aunts and their grandmothers made a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. And in terms of the runners, you could use those. You mentioned about, you know, people can use those on their countertops, on their if they have a kitchen table, a dining room table, and they could probably use those when there's a formal occasion or they're having friends over. They would be very, you know, appreciative and decorative, I would think.
Well, that's what I'm. It's taken me 25 years to get this far.
Okay,
but I'm trying to push
you over the line here, okay? the other thing too is, don't feel you have to go to a church group. It would be that, I think that's the easiest way. But is there a Salvation Army store? I don't know what your circumstances are, how old you are, but maybe with the spring is right around the corner. Maybe you might take some of them, and are you in a home where you could set up a table outside your home and have a little bit of a yard sale?
Well, I probably could. Now I'm going to be 65 next
Friday.
You're a young guy.
Come on,
66. I'll be 66.
Wow, big
next
deal. You're a young man. You could do that.
But I think Salvation Army would go absolutely ballistic when I pulled in with an 18-wheeler.
No, you don't want to. Yeah, right. No. But I'm saying just slowly but surely. Slowly but surely. I think you can do this. I really do. Now, what else do you have? I mean, stuff that your mom and your aunt made, which are in perfect condition. Wow. I mean, You could open up a table sometime in October, and people would swoop by to buy Christmas presents. I mean, you could turn it into a little activity during the summer to compartment. I mean, you could have fun with this, or you could just say to yourself, I'm going to take 80% of the potholders or 80% of the runners, and I'm going to bring them to the Salvation Army. I'm going to bring them wherever, to a thrift store. You could do it.
Yes, and, you know, it's just getting over that hump. You know,
okay, I tried to push that one little pebble.
That one little pebble is holding the boulder up on the mountain.
Okay, well.
And I got to get that little pebble out of there.
All right. I hope I've helped. Thanks, David. Call me back and let me know. Let me know if you will do a follow-up on this, but I want you to call me back some night if we do open lines, or just even call me at the station and let me know if this has helped. Because I'm kind of going through the same thing. I'm helping myself as I talk to you, okay? Thank you much.
Okay. All right, Dan. Well, thank you.
You're more than welcome. Let me go to Tim in Michigan. Tim, how do you unclutter? Hi, Tim.
Well, I'll tell you what. I worked for a number of years in an estate liquidation business.
Wow. Yeah.
Where we actually went into people's homes, farms, etc., and we liquidated the thing out in usually a course of 3 or 4 days, and when we were done, the place was empty.
Now, when you say an estate search situation, the
estate
people
sales.
Right. The people who owned the property had passed on, correct?
Correct, and usually it was handed then down to their children.
Okay, and the children didn't have the sentimental attraction,
Sometimes they did. They did.
So explain to me how that works. So you show up, you're welcomed into the home, and they say to you, "This furniture, whatever."
What they would say is, "We need help. We need to sell all this stuff. We need to basically be able to look at it in the rearview mirror."
Gotcha. So now,
and we would then commence to, set up a sale, and we would then announce the sale, advertise the sale,
and it
would be conducted over 3 or 4 days.
Okay, let me make sure, Tim, I understand. So you would not move the furniture or the items out of the house. They would stay in the house, and you would arrange everything so that they looked very presentable. They were cleaned and polished and stuff like that. Is that what you're telling me?
Exactly right. And we would then conduct a sale.
Okay. Now, when the sale, when the sale is done, the day of the sale, are the children there, and are they there and watch the stuff be sold, and then
generally they wouldn't be there to observe everything being sold, but in advance of the sale, we would very gently suggest that the kids, and this would be the children of the people who are now passed away, that the children gather and observe the stuff in advance of the sale, and perhaps gather things that had significant meaning to them. And I will tell you that in that vein, we often functioned as some kind of quasi-therapist.
Yeah.
And we routinely would attempt to bring the siblings together.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we would try to resolve issues that had cropped up between, brother and sister, brother and brother, sister and sister. We actually functioned as a type of therapist.
So the day, let's say the day before the sale or whatever, you would come back after you've put everything out and presented. Do they say to you, you got to get $50 for this dining room table or don't sell it? Do they put a reserve on it, or do they say,
yes,
everything here,
yes, we,
you do your best?
Yes, we did have that, but then faced with the sheer volume of items,
yeah,
they had to relent.
Okay.
And they came to the point of recognition where, oh my goodness, there is so much stuff.
Okay.
It's just going to have to sell.
Okay. So now, let me just, you're painting the picture for me really well. So the day or the weekend of the sale, people come in, and then people either write you checks or give you cash. Does it matter?
No, it didn't matter because it was in a local community area.
Okay,
so
fine.
We kind of knew people.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Obviously, cash is preferred.
Okay. Right. Okay, fine. So now, let's say the sale is over. Again, what compensates you? Do you get 20%, 10%? What was the
most? We worked on a percentage basis.
Okay, can you just tell me what realistically it is in case there are people listening here tonight?
It was usually around 25%.
Okay, fine. So that's a good number. That's a good number.
Yep.
What's the most expensive item that you ever sold through this process? Was there some grandfather clock or something that stands out in your mind?
We had farm machinery.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yep. That's we had a rather expensive fine jewelry.
Really? Okay. Well, I could see how that could be sentimental. The farm machinery, the John Deere tractor. Okay, thanks very much. Whatever you can do there. Well, Tim, I know that you're in the Upper Peninsula, right? I think we've talked before.
No, I'm in mid-Michigan.
Mid-Michigan.
If you connect the points of the Rust Belt that are Flint, Lansing, Saginaw,
yeah,
I'm in the middle of the Rust Belt.
I've been to Lansing, Michigan. Okay.
Yep.
Look, thanks for calling in. I'd love to talk to you more, but I got packed lines.
I'm with you.
And some night, maybe we'll do this again. But did you do that as a living, or was that a side hustle?
Did it as a living, and then as well as a side hustle. And
right,
I've
right.
got a legion of stories that go with it.
Okay, here's my question. Okay, you know that I'm a big sports guy. Okay, you know I like sports.
Right.
I know the Tigers, the Lions, the Pistons, all the different sports teams, the Red Wings. Did you ever end up, who was the most famous person you did the estate sale for?
Well, we did an estate sale for a person who was a prime designer for General Motors in the automotive industry.
Okay, so that's, yeah, okay. Well, no one's going to know that person's name, but that's high end. Did you ever, I was hoping you're going to tell me you did like the estate sale for, I don't know, you know, Al Kaline or something like that. No,
no, never. Okay. Al Kaline. No.
You and I and about 10 other people know who Charlie Maxwell. Charlie Maxwell lived in Paw Paw, Michigan. Who was the?
Yeah, Charlie Paw Maxwell.
I drove through that town one night at midnight many years ago, and I wrote about it in an article I wrote for Newsweek magazine. I woke the cameraman up, and I said, "We're going through Paw Paw, Michigan." Guy said to me, "What'd you wake me up for?" I said, "This is Charlie Paw Paw Maxwell's hometown, Detroit Tigers, Chicago White Sox."
they looked at you with a dumb look like,
yes,
and?
They did. They looked like, I'm going back to sleep.
Yep.
Hey, thanks, Tim. I appreciate the call. We'll talk again, okay?
You bet.
Thanks, buddy. Okay.
Yep.
Bye-bye. By the way, Tim, pretty soon I'm going to be talking to Chloe from Michigan, so I'll find out where Chloe's from as well, okay? Thanks. We got two Michiganders on the line. Thank you, Tim. We'll take a break. Here comes the news at the bottom of the hour. Coming right back, we got Chloe in Michigan, Linda in Weymouth, Patty in Quincy, Leanne in Northborough, and I got some room for you. 617-254-1030. We're talking about decluttering.
You're on Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
All right, perfect. Let's keep rolling here. Going to go next to Leanne in Northborough. Hi, Leanne. Welcome. You're next on Nightside.
Oh, hi there. How are you?
I'm doing great. Talk to me about decluttering.
I went through it last year, and it was the hardest thing of my whole life. But I learned a few things.
Okay.
after you've offered everything away that you don't want or can't take, take pictures of everything.
Interesting.
And then you have that picture, not just in your memory, but you have that.
Yeah.
The other thing is there's a lot of photographs you have of events in your local town or programs from every baseball game or football game or play or whatever your child might have done. Sometimes those are invaluable to your local historical society because what happened yesterday is history, and they keep a there's less and less in paper, and they want that sort of stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah.
don't throw those kinds of things out. Special events that were of that sort, or pictures that you can identify everybody. Those class pictures of your kids.
Yes. Yeah.
And you've got the names of every kid. Drop it off at the Historical Society if your kids don't want them.
Yeah.
And here they have that because those people's grandchildren will come someday looking for stuff, and maybe they'll find that.
Wow, those are great ideas. Those are great ideas.
So,
excellent. Leanne, those are perfect ideas, actually.
And
you're so right. Someone was kind enough to send me a book yesterday, a dear friend of mine. He knows I'm a big sports fan, so he sent me it's a book done on the life of Mickey Mantle, the famous baseball player. And there were pictures of, you know, Mantle as a boy and Mantle at his high school and in grammar school. And, you know, again, as somebody who has an interest in sports, it was, and a lot of the names were there, and someone had taken the time to keep those pictures and to pass them on, So you've made a great connection for me. I love this suggestion.
There's one other thing.
Yep.
Lots of times people are in your house and they'll say, oh, I love that picture you have on the wall.
Yep.
Remember that. Put their name on the back of it. And when you get ready to move and downsize and your kids don't want it, call that person and say, would you really like it? Or that teapot that somebody has commented about and your kids don't want.
Yeah.
But a friend of yours had said, oh, that reminds me. I'd love that. It reminds me of when I was a kid. Give it to them.
Yeah.
And wrap it up. It's their birthday present. It's their Christmas present. It's whatever. Give it to them.
Very clever. Very, very clever. So. And also meaningful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Leanne, those are some great suggestions. And you have done that successfully. So thank you for sharing with us.
Okay. Well, lots of luck. And I've enjoyed listening to the other ones.
Well, thank you very much.
Have
you called us before or no? Is this your first time?
A long, long time ago.
Well, don't be a stranger.
Like 10 years ago.
Don't be a stranger. Come on back. I might not be here 10 years from now, so I want to talk to you again, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Leanne. Have a great night. Good night. We were going to go now. Let's go to Patty in Quincy. Hey, Patty, welcome back. How are you?
Fine. I'm very fine, and Leanne's my soulmate. Honest to God.
How about
that's
that?
That's what I'm in the process of doing now. I come from a family of 11 in good old Netsit. In fact, I was in Ed Markey's. I was 2 years behind Ed Markey. I know his whole family. In fact, his family bought my grandfather's house when his grandfather moved into Malden, and my grandfather got married and moved to Medford. So I'm a Medfordite from the good old MC and Girls Catholic. I was the last graduating from Girls Catholic when it was with Malden Catholic out of Immaculate.
All right.
We just had our 50th class reunion right before COVID set in.
Okay.
And it was a big time, let me tell you.
All right.
Ed was a little upset because we really didn't want him there because we were like 3 years younger than him. He already had his say.
Yeah.
You know,
but was he campaigning for something? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, he said he was in the area at the time, but we already had picked our guest speaker and Joe Pett from, Aerosmith was there because he graduated with us. And, We had a news from where I grew up in.
Tell me what you agree with what Leanne had to say.
I moved into my husband's grandmother's house about 14 years ago from Medford. Yep. And the house we had in Medford on Kenmere Road, right off the Fellsway. My dad was a truck driver for good old Jordan Marsh.
Okay.
I've got pictures of the first day of Jordan Marsh when they did the Santa's Village.
Okay.
With a few of us. We weren't all there by the first day, but we were there, you know, as a family, and pictures from there. And since, I've lost two of my siblings. But in the meantime, like I say, I've got, when we moved to my husband's family house, there's a lot more rooms down here.
Okay.
We're selling the house in Medford.
Patty, I got to get you to the meat of the argument here, the question, because I'm getting really close to my break. Go ahead.
Okay. What I'm doing right now is, because all my siblings, you know, some of them want this picture or that picture, and I've got pictures going back to my great-grandfather's day. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking pictures of the pictures and making everyone...
Pictures,
a photo book.
Yep, that's excellent.
You know what I mean? They're not going to be online or anything. It's going to be a real picture book. And the same thing with different wedding gowns, christening outfits that my mother used to make everyone there on Christmas. And I've got her hope chest, and I'm going back. And we were on the second oldest. I remember who was in what.
Okay, that's
but perfect. She, like I say, she's my soulmate.
I should have kept Leanne's number, but you both are telling us similar ideas.
Taking pictures because people don't remember what they even have on their cell phone.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I hear
you. Know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I have pictures of my cell phone I can't find.
You have a great picture, or your cell phone gets lost or it gets damaged,
yep,
and they're not there.
You got it.
It's going to take me a while.
It's going to be worth it, though.
I'll get it done.
All right. Hey, Patty, I got to run. I hate to do this, but I got to say goodnight. Have a happy St. Patrick's Day weekend. Talk to you soon. Good night.
Yeah, it's my thing, Patty. No.
All right. Talk to you soon. I'm not surprised. Thanks, Patty. Good night. Here comes the break. We got Chloe in Michigan, Jimmy in Winchester, Linda in Weymouth, and then we get to the 20th hour. Back after this.
Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Back we go. We are going to go to Chloe in Michigan. Chloe in Michigan, whereabouts in Michigan are you?
I am down in the lower county of Hills County, where Ohio and Indiana and Michigan meet.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly where that is. So tell us, how do you declutter in Michigan? You heard our friend Tim from Michigan before you.
Yes, I'm aware of people who actually make a living doing that.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, I had to laugh when you picked the topic for tonight, because I'm in the process. I'm in my 80s, and my kids say, Mom, you got to get rid of some of this stuff. And I have like a huge house and an attic full that I've kept. So I paid them back at Christmas time. I went through, because I like change. So I went through and I changed my bathrooms probably 4 or 5 times a year with towels and, you know, the shower curtains and all that.
Yeah.
And my bedroom and pictures. And so I made up plastic tubs. And I have 5 children and grandchildren from the age of 3 to 36. So I made a tub and they drew a number and they got tubs, whether it was a tub of Christmas decorations or Halloween or Easter or bed outfits. You know, I change my linens quite often too. So, and then the towels and the shower curtains and all that would match.
Yeah.
And we had a great time. They just howled when they got it.
Oh, that's great.
But then the other thing I did in the summertime, they always want, we should have a yard sale. Well, that's a lot of work. And then you got to take care of it. And I just thought, you know what? And I started hauling stuff out to the road. I live in the country.
Yeah.
And I just started lining it up along the yard. And I'm not kidding, within 3 hours, everything was gone.
Really?
Really. They stopped, and I'd had a tree that had a big limb that had fallen out of it, and so I had to have someone come and cut it up. And the guy said, well, what are you going to do with that wood? And I says, well, nothing. And he said, well, I'll take it. So he cleaned up all my wood that I had stacked up and had no use for. It was, I just laughed. It was so much fun.
Oh, that's great.
I got rid of extra tools and flower pots and, oh my gosh, wall pictures and anything, you know, that I didn't want anymore. Went out there and it was gone within 3 hours.
Oh, that is fabulous. I'm so impressed. Well, good for you, and you did it well. And Chloe, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
I've never heard
you.
From you before. I do not believe. Have you? Is your
oh,
first
yes,
time?
You have.
I
yeah,
have.
It's been a long time ago. I've called a couple, three times when you've had a topic that I can't leave alone.
Well, thank you for listening as often as you do.
Well, every night.
And what's the town again in Michigan? What's the name of the town?
I'm at Hillsdale. You know Hillsdale College, I'm
oh,
sure.
Oh, yes, yes. No, I remember you now. Yeah, not much. You mentioned Hillsdale. Absolutely. Thanks, Chloe. Mm-hmm. We'll talk again, okay? Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Let me go to Linda in Weymouth. Linda, what happened here? I hit the wrong number here. My mistake. Linda in Weymouth. Next, Linda, go right ahead.
I'm still here.
Go ahead, Linda. I got to be quick with you tonight because we're
okay.
One more.
I will
go
be
ahead.
Quick. I like Chloe's idea, except that I live on a dead-end street, so when my dad was around, we would have yard sales. As it is right now, I have his paintings. I put them all on a flash drive.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
To pass to relatives.
Great
and
idea.
And then go to his church and donate the things for their church fair. I use service organizations a lot.
Yeah. That's very good.
During the fall, it was like once a week they were coming out, and I had something for them. I was having someone that was going to help me clean out the garage to help pay off what she was owing me, but COVID hit, and that kind of went kaputty.
Yeah.
And the process right now of clearing out cellar, which has a water issue, and with the weather being it is, can't do a whole lot much.
I'll bet you can, yeah.
But I use a lot of the service organizations, also local service, you know, like, what do you call it, community centers that put things out and sell for the community, to benefit community programs.
Okay. All good, all things. Great ideas.
And one more thing.
Yeah.
I like to have a picture of what ideally I'm working towards. It doesn't get there, but at least it kind of gives me a little bit of motivation.
Okay. I got you. Those are all great ideas. Thanks, Linda. Talk to you soon.
Welcome.
Good night. Let me go to Jim in Winchester. Jim, you're going to wrap the hour for us. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people talking about those items or emotional attachments.
Yes.
The way I handle that is my general principle is that normally I wouldn't let emotion get into my decision making. So the way I handle this is that I look at all those stuff to see within the past year for anything, right? If I ever used any one of them for more than once per quarter on average. And if not, I'll just get rid of it. Either through Facebook Marketplace or just a charity donation. Unless a fair market value for that thing is over $200, then I'll keep it and think about that. But that's my general principle, right? To see if that's something I'm really using it. If not, then probably my trash is going to be someone's, like, treasure, right? Or maybe that
yes, of course. Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Good ideas. Again, just using your head and thinking about it is what you're saying. Just take some time to think about it. Thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. Jim. Have a good one.
You too. Talk to you soon. All right, we're wrapped for the 11 o'clock. We're ready for the 11 o'clock hour. I want to know from you, real simply, is corned beef and cabbage not the most overrated meal? Everybody is supposed to eat it on St. Patrick's Day. Not me. Not me. I'll explain on the other side of the 11 o'clock news as we wrap another week of Nightside.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.